नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Verse Number 35 and 36. Because 35 has no purport, so we'll chant an extra sloka, what the purport is. They wrote 35 on the board.
I don't know why.
No, considering that I'm going to chant 36 because they have a purport. What did they write 35 on the board for? Who knows what the mind of these devotees are? Who knows, you know? Generally, you're supposed to write the shloka that has the purport, you know?
I don't know why they did it.
You write the first verse. Huh? You write the first verse and then go on till the
shloka. Sure. Anyway. Esham. This is December 30th. Of 2012 in Radha Gopinath Temple, 10th Canto, Chapter 14, Verse Number 35 and 36. Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Eshamagosha nivasinam utabhavam kim deva ratetinas. Cheto vishvafalat falam tvadaparam kutra piyayan muyati. Sarvesha deva putana pisakula tvam eva deva pita. Yada martha surat priyatamatanaya pranashayastat krite. Synonyms. Esha, translation by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions, which you bestow upon these residents of the coward community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So, what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very hearts and lives are all dedicated only to you? So, we'll read Shloka 36. Tavad ragadayas stenas tavadakara griham griham tavana moho angri nigado yavada krishna natejana. It's a heavy shloka. Tavad, for that long, raga adaya, translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves. Their homes remain prisons. Their affectionate dealings for their family members remain foot shackles. Purport. Apparently, the residents of Vrindavan, the abode of Lord Krishna, are simple householders engaged in ordinary affairs such as herding cows, cooking, rearing children, performing religious ceremonies. However, all these activities are intensely engaged in the loving service of Lord Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan perform all activities in pure Krishna consciousness and thus exist on the most exalted platform of liberated life. Otherwise, the same activities performed without Krishna consciousness constitute ordinary bondage in the material world. Thus, one should not misunderstand the exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan, nor should one consider oneself highly religious simply because one performs ordinary domestic affairs very enthusiastically, but without Krishna consciousness. By focusing our passionate attachment on our family, and society, or completely deviated from the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. Conversely, if we engage our family in the loving service of the Lord, our endeavors to maintain our family become part and parcel of our progressive spiritual duties. In conclusion, by studying the extraordinary status of the residents of Vrindavan, we can see that the essential quality of their lives is pure Krishna consciousness, the rendering of devotional loving service to the Lord without a trace of material desire or mental speculation. Just loving service to the original personality of Godhead immediately creates the atmosphere of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the kingdom of God. End of the purport. So, going back to the previous shloka, Brahmaji says that his mind is bewildered. How can you repay the residents of these devotees who give everything to you? So you give yourself, but I don't see if there's anything else that you can give. Then other than that, you've already given yourself to Putana and her family members. So what to speak of these residents of Vrindavan who have dedicated everything? Their homes, wealth, friends, dear relatives, bodies, children, and hearts and lives and hearts are dedicated to you. So what about them? So Krishna's nature is to give himself to his devotee. Doesn't matter what the Thakur is that one worships. Their nature is to give themselves to their devotee. And also Tulsi Rani, same. It's her nature to give herself. Basically, she, it's actually a mysterious shloka in Pundarik Das's Tulsi Stotra, shloka 7. Tulasya naparama kinchit daivatama jagadita le yapravitrato loko vishnu sangena vaishnava. Pretty amazing verse. First of all, I considered the Acharya could not have written that in Sanskrit unless it's there in the Puranas. So reverse engineering means you find it. You know, what might have inspired him to write that? Second thing was the astonishment. My God, there are 330 million demigods that are worshipable in this world, and Tulsi Rani is better than all of them. And shloka 9, it says, Talosya sakala deva vasanti satatanga jata atastamarchaya loke sarvan devan samarchayan. With Tulsi Devi, all the demigods exist all the time. Thereby, one should worship her, thereby worshiping all the demigods in this world. One-stop shopping. Basically, that's really neat. One-stop shopping. So, was the astonishment that actually she's better than all of them. Next thing is to offer prasadam, charanamrita, to your favorite demigod, whatever, devotee, along with garlands, along with uchasta prasadam, along with deepa, dupa, like that, prasadam from the Lord. And they say, "Whoa, you're really nice. What can I do for you?" You know, it's a good bribe. Apka file, rollers chaye sab. You know, it's a good bribe to give them. Charanamrita. The only thing I'm thinking about, there's one passage in Brahmavaparta Purana, which is definitely in the mode of passion. It's not in the mode of goodness at all. And in that section, Tulsi was attracted to Ganesh. And I asked Kartik Chandra, this Gujarati pundit in London, when I first asked him about it, he goes, "Sounds like it's something the Ganesh Bhaktas have thought up." And then he looked and goes, "Well, it's in Brahmavaparta, so it must be bona fide." You know, see, Brahmavaparta Purana, there's no tikka, there's no commentary. So it's the last resort of pundits. And there's nothing else to quote, you quote that. But you can't back it up. You can't back it up, so it's the last resort. Next, see what happened was, Tulsi was attracted to Ganesh before her marriage to Shankarchuda and wanted to marry him. And he says, "Marriage is trouble. I don't want to remarry." She said, "You're going to have to get married against your will." He didn't like that. And then later on she apologized. So he said, "You'll be very dear to Lord Vishnu and the chief of all offerings to Lord Vishnu, but I don't need you and I don't have anything to do with you," like this. So my question was, well, what about bribing him? You know, you can bribe him with charanamrita, like that. We have to look at that. at this. He cursed that you could have married a demon, you know, like that. Then when she apologized, then he mellowed out and said, well, you'll be very dear to Lord Vishnu, but I won't have anything to do with it. It's interesting stuff. Brahmavarta Purana. Now, they also have stuff like the marriage of Radha and Krishna, which they promote. But if it was so big, so important, that it would be elsewhere in the Puranas, you would think, right? It's not. And neither did the other Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath, Gopal Bhatta. Nobody said a word. Only Jiva did, because he had some Swakya disciples. He said it. Well, Radha Krishna may get married, like that. So just to pacify them. But it's not mentioned anywhere else in the Puranas. So what is it? So I asked Gopi Puranadana in Vrindakund about it. What do we do if something, if a Purana is considered to be interpolated and has no tikka? How should we relate to it? With a grain of salt. Maybe yes, maybe no. When in doubt, do without. Is the proverb, you know. It's the last resort of pundits. But we don't really give it much weight, really. That's the idea. So, an interesting thing about this shloka, because Brahmaji mentions that he already gave himself to Putana. So, in Haribhakta Kalpa Latika, the Vanaprastha Brahmana wrote very interesting shloka in this connection. Said, Vishama Tattve Yasmai Stana Jugapratam Hankta Manasa Yato Le Beya Dattri Katimat Pitaya Putanikaya Ta Etasmai Pritya Sarasamadaram Gavyamamritam Falang Va Kandam Va Kimute Shama Kritatiyam. So he says, Vishama Tattvai Yasmad, Stana Yugapratam, Hantumanasa. She who smeared on her breast poison, Hantumanasa, with an idea to hurt or kill. Yato le be datri gatarabitaya putanekaya. You gave Putana the destination of becoming a nurse in the spiritual world. Ta etasmai, what to speak then, in the same way. Ta etasmai, pritya, with love. Sarasa madaram, gavyamamratam. Nice, sweetened, condensed milk. Palangva, or fruits. Kandamva, or candies. Kimutesham, what to speak of them? Kritadiya. Who give that? So it says, if you gave her the destination of becoming a nurse in the spiritual world, who smeared her breast with poison, with a mood to kill you, then in the same way, and you elevated her to an exalted destination. What about the good fortune of those who offered you fruits, candies, or sweetened condensed milk with love? Imagine what they get, you know. So Krishna's nature is that he gives himself to his devotees. And that is really the magnanimity. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi had a doubt. Gadadhar Das had a doubt whether Pundarik Vidyanidhi's lakshana, his qualities, was good. Because he was dressed opulently, he was fanned by yaktail fans, he had amla oil on his hair, and he looked like a pakka vishayi, a proper materialist. So, Rakeshwara Pandit quoted this shloka. It's 3:23:3. Aho bakiyam stana kala kutam jagamsayat apyasadavi labega timatatri uchatamatatonyat kim va dayalum sharanam vrajema. Just who will I go to give shelter of somebody more merciful than you? Who gave yourself to Putana, like that. And even though she wanted to kill you, like that, even though she wanted to kill you, still, mm-hmm. you gave her such a high destination. Who else shall I go that's more merciful? And hearing that shloka, Pundarik Vidyaniri went mad in ecstasy and started to tear his cloth and like this. Then Gadadhar does that. He's got real bhava. He's got real love for Krishna. So I've committed some aparadha. So he asked Gauranga that maybe I should surrender to this Vaishnava. So Gauranga said, yeah, it's a good idea. Later on, see, after he took initiation from Pundarik Vidyaniri, then he claimed that he forgot the chanting of Gayatri Mantra, and he wanted Gauranga to give it. Gauranga said, your Guru Maharaj will come in 6 months and you can get it back from him. Gauranga didn't want to fall for that. And interestingly, so I'm going to tell you a story about that. There was, in 1968, Tamal Krishna Maharaj took second initiation with Jayananda from Prabhupada. And Jayananda, hearing the Gayatri Mantra, goes, I'll never remember this at all. So he came, he went to Prabhupada and said, hey, can we come to you at noon and chant this to see if we're chanting it properly? Yes, you may. So they came up at noon and Prabhupada said, okay, so chant. And they tried to chant. And Prabhupada shook his head. He goes, you Westerners will never get it. But that's okay. Krishna knows what you're trying to say. Now, and then later, Tamal was a firecracker. Anybody who knows him knows he was a firecracker. So they're chanting Gayatri together, and Jayananda drops his thread in 30 seconds. Tamal goes, what are you doing? And he says, I can't remember it, you know. You know, every 6 months when Prabhupada comes back to San Francisco, I have to ask him what the mantra is. Because I can't remember it. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj approached Prabhupada and said, well, why would your divine grace do that to such a disciple, you know? Let him come. Let him come. He's so sincere. Whatever he chants, Krishna will accept it. Tamal goes, oh, you know, it's a very interesting thing about it. Let him come. Let him go. Very interesting pastime story. So obviously, Jayananda's qualities was really good. Prabhupada really hated it when somebody was falling asleep. You hear in the class in Vrindavan, somebody snores. So Prabhupada goes, tell him to go to the ashram. Then he turns it to Tamal. Who is that man? But in 1968, during a darshan in the evening, you know, some class, then Jayananda would fall asleep and Prabhupada would say, let him sleep! He's doing more than 10 of you. Interesting, interesting thing. Interesting situation. Everything has to be adjusted according to kala, deshan, patra, time, place, and circumstance. Jayananda was definitely an interesting Vaishnava in so many ways. I remember in New York in the first Rath Yatra, when he was pulling the cart back, everybody was trying to enjoy the feast in Washington Square Park, and he was on everybody's case. Come on, you bums, pull the cart back, you know. I remembered it well, you know. He's getting on everybody's case, me too, everybody else, you know, that you bums are not, come on, let's pull the carts back. Pretty interesting. That was his last part of the outro. Interesting enough. So, about Putana, it's really interesting. See, Krishna's nature is to give himself to his devotees. And he does it big time. And it's really wonderful. Bhagavad Gita says, Surida Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna is the friend of every living entity. And he's ready to come in your heart and be your friend. And it's extremely comforting. Whenever you get the slightest hint of depression or disturbance, he immediately is there to pacify. That you don't have to be disturbed, you just chant our names. Sukitako, Dukitako, Bola, Hari Bol. And it's just wonderful. Now, about the shloka, the Vrajavasis were engaged in activities of cowherding, raising children, maintaining their family members, etc.
which Brahmaji says in Shloka 36 is a source of entanglement. So, in this connection, Narada Muni says to Yudhishthir that the very same things that constitute bondage in the material world done in relation to a devotee opens up the doors of liberation. So that's the idea. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sharanagati, in Gopadvaivaran section, accepting the Lord as maintainer, says, it's a famous bhajan, Daraputra Nija Deho Kutumba Palani, that how will I maintain my wife and children and family? Ebe Atma Samar Pane Chinta Nahiar, to me Samsara Prabhu, Samsara Tumar, that now that I've surrendered unto you, I don't have any anxiety because surely you will maintain your household life. He says, if I have any attachment to my wife, children, or families because they are yours, I hold on to the keys of your flat. So that's the idea. So, and interesting also, the Prachetas, they were doing tapasya for 10,000 years to become. They were Rajkumars, they were princes, under the order of Maharaj Bari, old Bari, Prachin Bari, old Bari. So evidently, his children were quite well, and he was an old king, ready to resign soon and hand over. So he told his children to go perform austerities. So they performed austerities. So the Lord chose, princes need to be married to set an example for the praja, the citizen. So, all these 10 brothers were devoted to each other, and they were very much together in unison. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead especially said, I really like that, that you have such great unison. Now, you have to get married. Okay, there's this girl, the son of Kandu Muni and Pramlocha Apsara. After she had the child, Maricha, she went back to Brahma. Like that. She went back to Brahma. And the child was raised by the trees. And obviously also by Kandamuni also. And she was a highly qualified girl. If anybody thinks that Draupadi had a hard time with five husbands, Maricha had 10. Heavy job. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally chose her and personally suggested her. That you should marry, all of you 10 boys should marry this girl, Maricha. So that's interesting. So the Prachetas were thinking, just like Ganpati, you know, marriage is a hassle. You know, it's definitely a hassle. You know, we don't want to get involved in that. You know, we might get deviated. So the Lord spoke, 4th canto, chapter 30, verse 19, which is a big comfort for devotees, that Griheshua Visitanga Chapi, having entered into household life, Pungsam, a person, Kushala Karabana, engaged in happy work, which Prabhupada translates as devotional service to the personality of God. But that's the only happiness in that word. Madhavarta Yatayamana, the time is spent in glorifying me. Na Bandaya, he not be bound up. Griham Mata, my opinion, they'll not be bound up by our household activities. So that is our business. That in any ashram, Vaishnavas or Vaishnavis can accept any ashram that is suitable for them, for their spiritual advancement. Because that's what ashrama means. It's a situation in life suitable for your development of Krishna consciousness. That's the idea. So, one can accept it as long as the time is spent in thinking of Krishna. Now, in Amritavani, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Amritavani, what is very nice, he says there that it is not enough to engage the five karmendriyas, knowledge, working senses, and the five ganendriyas, five knowledge-acquiring senses, in the service of Krishna according to your psychophysical nature. That is the beginning of bhakti. As we know from quoted in Padma, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhaktirujate. Bhakti is when the senses are engaged in the service of the master of the senses. That constitutes bhakti. That's the bottom line. He says, rather, better than that is to engage the mind in thinking of Krishna and the tongue in vibrating Krishna at the same time while you work. Then it becomes paribhavita bhakti. paribhavita, transcendental mood. For what? For others. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. That's the idea. And then it's wonderful. It becomes nice. That's what Krishna takes. It's not the dravya. It's not the item. It's the love behind the item that makes it important. We're going to try to give the best we can. But the problem is in the material world, everything goes down. No matter what you give, it all becomes down within one generation or less. If you talk with your grandmother, grandfather, they'll tell you what they have in their childhood. There was pure milk, pure vegetables, pure stuff. Prabhupada was talking about a few anas you could get enough vegetables to maintain your family for a whole week. Those days are long, long, long gone, you know. So basically, unless you've got somebody on a mission, you know, when they're 80 years old, they give up their body happily. The children, grandchildren are trash. The world is expensive. You know, they leave happily. Otherwise, if you're on a mission, then you don't. Just like it was very funny. In America, there was a fitness guru. He left his body last year at 96 in his sleep. And at 95, one journalist asked him, "What are you thinking about death?" And he goes, "Bad for my profile." This guy at 80 years old was swimming underneath the San Francisco Bay, tied to two tugboats full of people, and was pulling them underneath the bay of San Francisco. Amazingly strong, muscular, fit guy, you know, fitness guru. Some interesting stuff. So if you're on a roll, if you've got a mission, then you don't. And basically, what is our role? Jayadvaita Maharaj, who happened to be coming soon, he's going to be fun, said, "We don't need more renunciates. We need grandfathers and grandmothers. That's what we need. Because they will tell the younger generation properly what to do, what not to do." The main thing is to concentrate and think of the personality of Godhead. And if you do that, they take over everything. And they do everything much more efficiently than we do. Because we're chunchal. You know, we have just so many distractions. Our business is to love them, and their business is to take care of us, and protect us, and facilitate us. And they do their job really, really good. I'll never forget. I was flying into Durban, South Africa once, and halfway on the plane, I realized that, hey, I forgot who's going to pick me up. I didn't make an arrangement. But it was one of the only flights, foreign flights, and there happened to be a devotee waiting in the airport, waiting for their father to come on the same flight. So I hung out there for 10 minutes with that boy. Father came out, "Take him to the temple." They took me to Phoenix Temple. And then they took me to the other temple. And I laughed. I said, "You don't make an arrangement. Krishna Balaram will." You space out. They're not going to space out. Because the thing about it is, in the Damodara Leela, when Krishna was being bound up, Mother Yasoda was astonished. "I put all these ropes together and they have two fingers too short every time." So these two fingers are described to be two potencies of Krishna. One potency, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in Asartha Darshani Tikka, says, it's just Siddha Shakti. Whatever Krishna wants gets done. And Leela Shakti, pastime potency. So Krishna thought, "I haven't finished playing. I wanted to play some more." So that's Leela Shakti. And it's just Siddha Shakti. Whatever Krishna wants gets done. So when Krishna saw that his mother was perspiring, he thought, then his Kripa Shakti came to the fore, and the two energies took the back seat. It's described. And the Kripa Shakti came to the fore, and Krishna allowed his mother to bind her. All right, she wants to bind him. Let her have fun, you know. bound him up with the rope, like this. It's quite astonishing that Mother Yasoda was able to do that. Because she had this Putra Baba. It's my son, you know. And the same thing you see about Jagannath Mishra, that he says, "Look, you know, I shouldn't chastise you, but it's my duty. I'm a father, so I have to do it." And it was very funny. Sometimes he would want to chastise Nimai, but Nimai looked so sweet and so nice, and he wouldn't do it, you know. Like that, he ended up not doing it. Same thing, Mother Yasoda. said, you know, that sometimes the other gopi friends would come in. I caught him stealing. And Mother Yasoda was mellow about it. But I caught him. What do you got here? And they're looking to see their own son. And then the gopi would go outside with Krishna and say, but what did you do this for? And he goes, next time you want to try to stop me from stealing, I'll manifest myself as your husband. Then what are you going to do? Pretty interesting. Just go home, Mother Yasoda said. Take some extra breaths. You had too much sun. And if you and later on, when you come back, if you got a problem, you can come and see me. Mother Yasoda was completely mellow about it. Didn't blow her mind at all. It wasn't the milk products that Krishna was stealing. In 10th Canto, Chapter 5, he would tell his friends, hey, go in that house. If there's anybody there, let me know. Mother Yasoda's friends tell her that, look, when your son comes to our house, if we want to give it to him voluntarily, he's not happy. He wants to steal it. The idea is if you give something, suppose you give somebody a donation. You give him, you know, 500 rupees, something like that, right? It's gone already. You forgot it. It's gone. Jo ho gaya, so ho gaya. It's gone, you know? And like that, it's already gone. But if that kid comes into your house and steals from you, you don't forget that kid. And that's what he's doing, Smartha Vyasa Tata Vishnu. Just don't forget. I remember that I rarely drive because I have people driving for me, so I rarely drive. So I remember I got in the car. I was with my Gujarati friends in upstate New York that Niranjan Maharaj gave me to. And I was trying to drive around. It was around some mountains to go to a Citibank branch. And the devotee was like, blah, you know, like this. And I said, look, I'm only trying to do my duty that you don't forget the Sringadev, you know. I'm only trying to do my, all right, you can drive, you know. I'm only trying to do my duty that you don't forget Krishna, that's all. Bhagawan, Rakshabam, you know. I'm only trying to do my duty, you don't forget Krishna, that's all. Sure, go ahead, you can drive, you know. You know, and then be happy. If it makes you happy, good, you know. See, the thing is that one should keep the name on the tongue at the same time while you work. That's the idea. Then it becomes paribhavita. Because the name is non-different. And thinking of Krishna is non-different. And Krishna really does. He's really the Surida, Sarvabhutana. And if you have any depression, any problem, any anxiety, oh, he comes running quick, and he comes in the heart, and he pacifies you. And that is really neat. Everybody tolerates our existence, basically. But Supreme Personality of Godhead is the friend. Same with Tulsi Rani. 24 hours a day, if you're ready to be a child, she's ready to be your mother. She does it big time. And if you step out of line, if you have some mundane asha, some mundane problem, oh man, will she let you have it? But that's what mothers do, and to bring you back in line. And it's lovely. And it's she's not a foolish girl. She's because maintenance is really, really, really tough. And she's a good engineer. She'll tell you exactly how to maintain it. And she's not a poor girl either. Vishnu's wife is not a poor girl at all. If she wants to give it to you, she will. You just have to have putra bhava, that anything for my mother. I spent money for her I didn't even have. And she paid it all back. She gave it back. It's interesting stuff. So when I started my shrine for her, based on a drawing of a female architect in Bali. And I Indianized it, you know, because we have a lot of bunders in Vrindavan. So I Indianized it. So we put steel, cement, and all my money went. I had a fixed deposit of 2 lakhs in Punjab National Bank, completely gone, down to my last 5,000 rupees. That's tough for a sannyasi to be down to your last 5,000 rupees. That's tough. So I said, what's going to happen, Rani? And she came in the heart like an Akashvani. She says, look, I'm in charge of all the beauty of Vrindavan. I'll make it beautiful. You just be patient and work for me. She's just like her husband, nah, steal everything. And when you can't give it, then you tell, hey, Rani, I can't do it. And she gives it all back with interest. Then I understood immediately what that interest was. You spent all this money on me. Where are you? Get out here. And, well, Jay Tumara Sharnaloy Taravanshapur Nahoy, whatever you want, she'll make it perfect. It's really, really interesting. And she's revealing her sweetness as years go by. We just have to have the mood. We will do everything for her. That's the mood. And she will do everything else. It's actually quite amazing. Now, everybody's wife gets on her husband's case. It was interesting. Mukunda Datta Das, Sanskrit pundit, friend of mine, said that every lady has her eight-arm form. I was laughing. That's hilarious. You know, that was funny like anything. You know, in Brahmavivarta Purana, Tulsi gets on Narayan's case and all that. There's cursing and counter-cursing and this and that, the other thing and like that. But basically, in any other pastime I've seen, she's really, really amiable. She's a very mellow girl. And she's not about to be put on a spot. She's not going to take sides in any controversy. She likes Krishna, she likes Radharani equally. Very funny. Nityananda Das, disciple of Bhaktivikash Maharaj, who's translating Don Kelly Comedy for the BBT, he sent me this section, pretty cool section, when all the gopis are on Vrindadevi's case. What do you think about tax collectors? Well, any girl from an upright family should have nothing to do with tax collectors. They're on your case like anything. Now, this girl's got to give something to Krishna, okay? They say, Vrindadevi claims to be in our camp, but actually she's in Krishna's camp. So let's give her as the Don to Krishna. But Krishna saw through that. He says, Lord Narayan has already enjoyed her. Let's give another girl. So Radharani says, if a girl is desirable and cannot be won by a man, you must be a celibate horse. The horses are celibate as long as you stay away from the mares. You know? It's pretty funny, sloka. Krishna saw through that. She's already been enjoyed by Lord Narayana. Give another girl. Very interesting. Very interesting sloka. Basically, she's a very good advisor for Krishna, and she's very amiable. Any pastime that Krishna wants to do, she steps in and does whatever Krishna asks her to do. Very expertly. Very expertly. There's a pastime in Radha Krishna Ujjvala Kusuma Keli Leela by Raghunath Das. Standard Don Keli stuff. You know, that Sriji says, you say Vrindavan belongs to you, but it belongs to Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi gave it to us. How does it belong to you? So Krishna retorts, Vrindadevi, who is more beautiful than millions of goddesses of fortune, is my chaste wife. If you don't believe it, you can ask her. Dharma Shastras say, whatever belongs to the wife belongs to the husband. When you say Vrinda, it means us too. So Sriji turns to Vrindadevi. Hey Vrinda, is this true? Are you married to this fellow? If you were married to this fellow, you would blush red and run away from here. It means Radharani is trying to say jhoot. You know? Krishna's jhoot bola. He's lying, right? But he's lying. But Vrindadevi is extremely mellow. And she goes, oh, Radha, why you talk like that? The beauty of Vrindavan forest is nothing but an expansion of the beauty of your limbs. Glorifies Radharani. Govinda Lilamrita chapter 9. Glorifies Radharani with 10 shlokas. And Radharani becomes absorbed in Bhava and completely forgets her anger. Pakka diplomat. Vrindadevi is a pakka diplomat. She's not going to take sides. She's very calm, very cool, doesn't get tense, you know, doesn't raise her voice, you know. She likes Radha, she likes Krishna. She's not going to take sides. She's a pakka diplomat, you know. She's very smart, very cool, very calm. And I was impressed. I thought, ah, she's really a proper diplomat. It's really interesting. And basically, anything anybody want or need, you can take shelter of your mother and get it. Lord Shiva said, I have 2 Sanskrit shlokas to prove that. And a lot more, to tell you frankly. Basically, whatever. It's just, you've got to really love and serve. Then everything else comes from that. So basically, Brahma says, I'm bewildered to think, what else could you give but yourself, you know, to these residents of Vrindavan that are so absorbed? Now, these two slokas are a double-edged sword. They warn us that we should be Krishna conscious. If we're Krishna conscious, then it's all right. Then any ashram, household life, or stuff like that will be fine if we're absorbed in Krishna. Otherwise, it is a bondage in the material world. So, Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis of substance are dutiful, but they must not forget Krishna. And if they remember Krishna, then Chaitasya Sarvadurgani Mata Prasada Tarasyasi. If you think about me in any difficulty, Mat Prasada Tarasyasi. By my grace, you will cross over that problem. So, in our execution of our services, of our domestic services, we have to think of Krishna. And Krishna is ultimately in charge. So, Dina Manu, Dina Bandhu, Dina Nath, Mera Jori Teri Hath. You know, basically, it's that our life belongs to you. Our life is in your hands. So we just have to love that and be proper to that. And Krishna will take care, and Krishna will do the needful. And basically, I was telling Giriraj Maharaj in Dallas that Krishna wants us to go back to him faster than we're ready to go. We're basically very distracted. We want to stay here. The deities would come in the heart, hey, why don't you just throw everything and just be with us? Go, wow, that would be really great. Could we do that? Could we just throw everything and just throw the body and throw everything and come and be with you? We have plans for you. So as long as a devotee lives, we have a plan. This is a plan for us. Each one of us has taken birth for a particular plan. We may not know what it is, but it's there, a particular plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My father, who's 92 now, okay, he told me at my birth, I had a 2% chance of living only. So I was always wondering, what's the cause of my birth in this world? Finally, she came in the heart. She says, look, I'm the one who grabbed you and saved you at the time of your birth from the jaws of death. You're my servant. End of story. And if you step out of line, oh man, she'll jump on you. No, you're my servant. End of story. You're not going to do that. You're my servant. End of story. It's really crystal clear. They actually crystal clear. Our good fortune is the good fortune of a devotee and the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And, of course, his spouse. If they desire something, it gets done in spite of us. That is what's really wonderful. The parents are stuck with the kid. It's not what the parents hope the child will be. It's what the child is. But Vrindadevi is different. If you want something and it's beyond your karma, if she likes it, she'll help you get it. Therefore, the name is Bhakti Chaitanya Karani, the cause of devotional mood, and Saravaso Bhagyavardhani. Everyone's good fortune is expanded by her. So that is really big. If it's beyond your karma and yet you want it, then if she agrees with it, she'll help you get it. It's really interesting stuff. Now, another thing is, if it's beyond your karma, then, and very desirable, very nice, then, Dako, we have to beg her. That's all. And if we beg her, then she'll fulfill the desire. It's based on begging. Hey, we've got 25 minutes for questions and answers. Ooh. So it's our time to serve you. Who's got the icebreaker? Who's got the icebreaker question? Hey, is there a mic in the middle? Wireless mic? A wireless mic. Yeah. Pass it around. He's got one over there. The icebreaker. The first question is called the icebreaker.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for this class. My question is concerning the relationship with the deities of Radha Krishna, Tulsi Maharani, when you're in a situation where you're helpless, you gave the example of being in South Africa and you didn't have plans to get picked up, but then Krishna arranged, or you know, someone to pick you up, or you had that perfect arrangement. Now, does that signify that there is that connection with Radha and Krishna? Is it that you're more bound to them, or they're more bound to you, that they're now providing these miracles in your life?
It's interesting. We should definitely try to use our brain and try to make arrangements, you know? Not that we're going to force Krishna to do something, you know? It was very funny. I remember my godbrother, Dina Bandhu, God, it must have been 87, something. He was the president of Vrindavan. And he came to Bombay once, and he told me, he said, we got 35 rupees in the bank. You got 35 rupees only in the bank, and you got so many departments, and how are you going to maintain? Oh, right, Ronnie, but there was something, you know? You know, I was thinking, boy, that is really detached. How could a temple president have only 35 rupees in the bank for so many departments, and you got to get so many stuff done? Oh, righty, righty, we'll do something, you know. It's interesting. At the same time, why should we put them in that situation? Sometimes it's like beyond our conception. Just like I was pushing to get my shrine done last Kartik. So I made the stainless steel panels, the caption panels for the last stained glass panels. Okay? So I thought I was paying 15,000 rupees. Turns out I was paying 86,000 rupees. Yeah! So I count up all my nickels, dimes, and pennies. And I'm realizing that I'm 40,000 rupees short. Yeah! How am I going to do that? Then my friend from Bahrain, Satyahari Namdas, goes, look, I got some land in Bangalore. If I sell it in 3 days, I'll give you the money. So he gave me 40,000 rupees. Boop, just like that. Interesting. So I spent money on her I didn't even have. You know? If it's an emergency, then you do it. And then, well, then Krishna will do something. But it doesn't mean that you've tried to, you know, force Krishna in a spot that him or his spouse has got to do something, you know.
It's better to be unintentionally in that situation and then have that received, and then you wouldn't have that feeling.
Unintentionally. It's better to be unintentionally in that situation because it's helpless. You're helplessly forced to expect the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, it's a little bit much to ask to push them into that all the time, you know? So you should try to use your brains, which is also given from them, you know, and facility. I'm the butter, I'm the fire, I'm the offering. What do we got? We only have our desire to give it to them. Another funny story that I have about that was I was in Mauritius, and the temple president, my godbrother, wanted some stone jewelry for Krishna Balaram's neck. And everything comes from Jaipur, a lot. Stone jewelry comes from Jaipur. So he was asking me to give different colors, and I was explaining to him, yeah, we'll get this color, that color, the other thing, this stone, that stone, the other stone. We were doing it. So he wanted green for green cloth. So then I said, malachite, ha! When I go to Russia, I'll get some malachite, you know, for the Lord's neck. Turns out the mines are finished. Mostly everything comes from Minas Gerais in Brazil these days, okay? So when I went there, the deities came in the heart. Remember, you promised to give us some malachite jewelry. Huh. So then I told some householders that are based in Moscow, hey, I promised Krishna to give this to his neck. What size do you want? So then I explained the size. They handed it to me, 5 kilos of jewelry, okay? Now, how am I going to get that to Krishna's neck? It's July. So I went to 2 temples, and then I went back. There happened to be a Mauritian devotee in the line in St. Petersburg station in Moscow. The old days, you had to go to the station to get the tickets. Now you can get everything online, you know. But in the old days, so there's a city of 4 million people plus, and it just happened to be a devotee in the queue. And as soon as I saw him, Kasiaya, where are you from? You know, I thought he's an Indian boy because previously the saying was, wherever the train goes, the Marwari follows. Now, wherever the plane goes, the Indians follow, you know. So I thought he was an Indian boy, Kasiaya, you know, like this. And he says, I'm a disciple of Gopal Krishna Maharaj. And I have some business in St. Petersburg for one day. And on Monday, I'm going home. Where's home? I'm from my school vacation. I'm going home to visit my parents. Where's that? Mauritius. And I laughed. And I went around the back and I pulled out the 5 kilos of jewelry and I said, Krishna Balaram, I've sent you to be their courier. I was laughing. I was thinking, my God, you just have to have a desire to give something to people, to Krishna. And Krishna will, if you whatever it is, garlands, food stuff, jewelry, you have a desire to give it to the Krishna's neck and Krishna will do everything. He'll even send his courier. And I was amazed. God, I was thinking, you know, the Mauritian devotees are not going to come to Vrindavan until Kartik. That's like 5 months from now. How am I going to get it to Krishna's neck? He sent his courier. What do we got? We only have our free will to offer something to Krishna. That's all we've got. It is our free will. So we should try to offer a free will. At the same time, it's nice to be dependent on Krishna. At the same time, it's also nice not to be so transcendental. You know, management is good if you make an arrangement, you know.
Without the attachment for the result, and then in that, Krishna will arrange for whatever circumstance?
We should endeavor without attachment to the results. See, it's like preaching. You're depending on Gauranga to do something. You know, it's purifying. It's purifying to depend. I don't know what's going to happen. Krishna will do something. You know, it's like that. It's purifying to do that. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to do something. And then it's nice for your Shraddha, it's nice for your service to depend on Gauranga in that sense, right? He'll do something. We don't know what he's going to do. But it's nice. What was good is Shuklambara Brahmachari was doing Madhukari. And when you do Madhukari, they may give, they may not give. It's the nature of baking. So he came back with a jula full of so much things. So Gauranga goes, what is that? What have you brought? Oh, it's not fit for you. You know, you have to wash it, you have to cook it, you have to prepare it. And Gauranga says, nah, it's very good. Kaccha. Gauranga put his hand in there, kaccha, and took out what was in the jula and ate it. Kaccha. This means Shuklambara Brahmachari's love for Gauranga was so much. He was meditating on Gauranga so much when he was doing Madhukari that Gauranga was interested to take it. If there's love, Krishna will steal it from you before you offer it. That's really neat. So yeah, it is purifying, yes. At the same time, well, then I am the butter, I am the fire, I am the offering. You know, we should use our brain to make an arrangement. And if you don't make an arrangement, they will, you know.
I guess this perfect example is like, I have a desire to distribute some books, so I carry books with me. And then it seems like I get into circumstances where I just meet people that want the books and they happily take them. So,
it's interesting. Yeah. There was a girl in a city in Russia that got a Tulsi plant from her neighbor. And she was a good Mali. She was good at taking care of tropical plants indoors. So her neighbor, who had to go to Moscow, typical, in the middle of the flipping winter, typical, to make some money, said, hey, look, I'm going for 2 months. Who's going to take care of my Tulsi plant? Gave the Tulsi plant to her neighbor. Well, what is this? It's a plant from India. Well, what do? Just give it some water and sing songs. I forgot to ask her. I forgot to ask her name. And another thing I forgot to ask her, what did you sing in those days? You know, God knows what she sung. And Tulsi Rani's Bhavagrahi. Ah, poor girl. She doesn't know what to do. She's trying her best. Turned her life around in 2 weeks flat. So she bought a Bhagavad Gita on the streets of that city, Nizhny Novgorod. Now there are very few book distributors in this world. She was marked. She gets mercy. Then in the Bhagavad Gita was the address of the temple. Now how many people buy our books, come to the temple? She did. Now, after she came to the temple, they said, well, why don't you take prasad in the cafe? Now, how many people buy our books, come to the temple and eat prasadam? She did. Then after she took prasadam, he said, well, go see Gornatai. How many people buy our books, come to the temple, eat prasadam, and go see Gornatai? She did. Next to Gornatai, there was Tulsi growing. Oh, I got a plant like that. And everybody noticed that, Tulsi made her devotee from scratch. Nobody preached to her. In 2 weeks flat, she became a devotee from scratch. And she gave up her vodka and silodka, meat eating and drinking. For a Russian girl in the middle of the winter, cold winter, it's no joke. Right now it's like, you know, negative 30 in Moscow, negative 50 in Siberia. It's like that. So Nizhny Novgorod must be good, cold stuff, you know. Must be good, negative 35, you know, no problem, you know, like that. So for a Russian girl to give up meat eating and drinking in the middle of the flipping winter is no small accomplishment. So what kind of life you're leading? She turned her life around in 2 weeks flat and became a devotee. This is interesting stuff. That's interesting stuff. Now, and I, Cubby, in 1987, I was doing college preaching programs in the medical hostel in Moscow, Saturday programs, with Sadhupriya and Radharaman Das from Calcutta. We were doing, and, you know, kids are legalized burglars. They simply pick their parents' pockets. There's no guarantee they'll be a devotee. That's not guaranteed. What's guaranteed is they'll be a burglar. They'll pick your pocket. That's guaranteed. The male child picks the mother's pocket, and the female child picks the father's pocket. Father will pay. What do I worry? You know. So the parents got to send their kids to some university, right? And in Russia, in CIS countries, the cost is one-third the cost of an Indian education. So they sent these kids there. So all Russians are Caucasians. So put all these Southeast Asians in one building, right? You got the Bangladeshis, the Pakistanis, the Sri Lankans, the Nepalis, and the, you know, Biharis and Orias like that. And they play cricket on Sunday, okay? And they got a little hostel box, you know, a little room. And you have two roommates, so they put some parda, they put some plastic to bifurcate it. This is your 3.5 square meters. Do whatever you want, you know. And somebody had a little altar, a devotee, with a Tulsi Rani sapling. Come on, what's the matter with you, nah? You're from Southeast Asia. What's your etiquette? Just offer her obeisance. Come on, offer her some incense. Come on, put one drop of water. Come on. So out of a, all right, you know, let's keep our roommates happy. So they do that. And 6 months later, their chicken tikka, their Jack Daniels, their dhumrapan out the window. Tulsi Rani changed their life around in 6 months flat. She's very smart. She just turned them around. And actually, I have Sanskrit to prove that you can give Tulsi Kanti to anybody you like. When you sent me that shloka about story about some people that came from Rome, then I found it. And that was interesting. From Vishnu Dharmottara. And that it says, Asucham, they're not clean. Anacharo, they're condemnable. Mamaveti, they'll achieve me. No, Samsaya. Samsaya, we may have a doubt. Let's let our grandfather, grandmother, auntie, uncle, teenage kid, whatever. Let's wait until they're 8 days before they die. Because 8 days before they die and they're in the hospital, who eats meat, drinks liquor, right? The problem with that strategy, what happens if they have a massive heart attack on the streets of Bombay? And you kick yourself in the teeth. You didn't do anything to help them. So give Tulsi neck beads to them yesterday. It's got nice silver in it. It's got black. It's got, we got it for you. We'll put it around your neck. Offer it to the deities and put it around their neck. You know, it's nice. It's good. It's good. Same thing with Amla, actually. Amla can also be. It's interesting stuff. The Sanskrit to prove it. Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Hey, we got, is it 8 minutes or 7 minutes left? Something. Hey, we didn't need a question. Blaine, we need some more questions. Yeah, let's get one. Boom. Who's got the mic? Okay, what is the question? What is the question? Well, you know, all right, the mic is here.
Maharaj, daily morning we sing Tulsi Aarti. So it says Dina Krishna Dase Kohe. So I want to know, who is this Krishna Das? Who is the author of this Arati?
I didn't find out. I asked Bhakti Charumarsh, who was Dina Krishna Das, and he doesn't know. You know, it's one thing is for sure. He was definitely in Manjari Bhava, which is quite common. So devotees ask that question also, about that if you're in another bhava with Krishna, should you chant that or should you adjust the prayer? She's a smart girl. She knows exactly what you need. You know, another thing, question is the Vishnu Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti in their thing? And I thought, come on, she's a smart girl. She knows what you, who you were. But actually, I have a pramanam, Guru pramanam, a letter when Prabhupada actually told Govinda Dasi the mantra is Vishnu Bhakti, Pradeya Devi. So it's, but I'm looking for that. That's okay for our institution. But I'm looking for other institution. I'm still looking for the Sanskrit. Because if you have Sanskrit, you have an evidence. So we're still digging through the Puranas. We dug through the whole Skanda. Because the Tamil Brahmins say, whatever you want, you can probably find it in Skanda. Because it's got 800,000 shlokas plus. Skanda's big. We looked through the whole Skanda. Ah, we didn't find it. We looked through Padma. Ah, we didn't find it in Padma. So maybe Garga Samhita, we're still looking. It's the service for researchers to do. It's going to take us a while to find it. I thought Guru Pramanam is okay for our institution. You know, it's all right. But what about other institutions? It's tough. That's tough. And so should we adjust the mantra for different bhavas? No. We keep it to exactly to what the author said. But she's a smart girl. She knows exactly what we're thinking about, you know. She knows what you want, you know. Another thing about it is that in any relationship with Krishna, see in Adi Leela chapter 4, verse 19, whatever way my devotee wishes me, I reciprocate accordingly. That's my natural nature. So Sriji does it also. She does it also. Don't think that Krishna's consort is going to do like that. Not going to be able to reciprocate. And incidentally, in Radha Astotara Sloka Stotra, it mentions that she is gifted a form equal to her own to Subal. It's not a smoking gun Sanskrit, because most Sanskrit is basically not. Very inferred, indirect Sanskrit. Then my disciple Damaswar sent me so many different stuff, stories, you know, that basically the Vrajavasis, when they see Subal dressed up as Radharani, they think it's Radharani. And they lift the veil and they said, ah, this is Subal, it's not Radharani. And even Krishna sometimes mistakes Subal, who's dressed up as Radha. Interesting. In Subal Vesh, there's really no difference. They have the same face, the same size, like this. Sriji just keeps her mouth shut, you know, and holds the calf to her chest, covers her breast, and goes out in the forest to be with Krishna. And Yogamaya, what does Purnamasi Yogamaya do? You know, the whole day, that Vrishabhanu Nandini is not coming out of her room. And Subal's there the whole day, dressed up as Vrishabhanu Nandini, you know. And Yogamaya is very interesting. And then the pastime changes again. Very interesting story. So, and Sloka 35 says Subal is very dear to her. It's not a smoking gun Sanskrit. You won't find that. It's inferred. But she really is. She really does it, you know. So Radharani wants to encourage any devotee with any relationship with Krishna. She tries to encourage them and help them out. So that's Dasya Bhava in that sense, you know. So there's so many ways of looking at it. There's more than one way to cut a mango. Huh? You have me? Where? Ooh, she's got a question. Good. Because we had two questions from the men, but nothing from the ladies, so we're very happy. Another thing was that there's no question from the kids. If there's no question from the kids, we're all in trouble, you know? Yes, mother.
My humble obeisances, Maharaj.
Hurry up.
In many lectures of Srila Prabhupada, I'm hearing that he's saying women is unintelligent, less intelligent, less intelligent. Because of that, whole Mahabharata was for them. Because they cannot understand Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures. Also, he says that women should be chaste, because if they be chaste to their husbands, next life they will get man's body. Then they can achieve something. They can.
So what's the question?
Question is it true that being a woman we cannot achieve love for Krishna in this life only?
Is it true that being a woman you cannot
achieve
love for Krishna?
Yes, and go back to home. What does it mean that less intelligence? What does it mean?
Less intelligent means every living entity. Well, first of all, every living entity is Prakriti, and we need to be guided by the previous acharyas. So everybody is better than some and worse than others. And whatever, we can't even come up to the mutra of our grandparents. What to speak of, like 16 generations, you know, 16 generations, said Goswami. So our purva acharyas, Vaishnavas try to, just like any shloka from the Shastras, what's the tikka? What's the commentator? Because the commentator helps you understand with the mood behind the shloka, like that. It gives you intelligence to understand what things are. Less intelligent. So, it was very funny. And when Vidya Bhaktisiddhanta's, my godbrother Bhaktisiddhanta's wife, wrote a question to Prabhupada in 76 about collecting Tulsi Manjaris with fingers or using seeds, scissors. Prabhupada said, use your brains. And if you have none, ask others who do. If it's a hard Manjari, you have to use scissors. And if it's a soft Manjari, fingers are faster. You know, just use your brains. And if you have none, ask others who do. Very funny stuff. So we have a big sangha to ask questions. You see, like that. And friends, and we'll take the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna will give the brains, sometimes directly. Now there is a joke. You haven't seen your sister in 40 years, you can Google and get her on Facebook. You can Google for any damn thing, basically. And 90% of the time, you get it, you know, really. So part of research is Googling for it, and part of research is asking others, and if you can't, then ask Hridayanath, the Paramatma in the heart, and they'll help. And anything that comes from Paramatma is seen with Shastra Pramanam, Guru Pramanam, and Sadhu Pramanam to see if it's correct or not. That's also part of discrimination, vivastiti. And asking sadhus and sadvis. Now what about less intelligence? Every living entity can be considered to be less intelligent in Kali Yuga. Some are better than some and worse than others. So, can a girl go back to Godhead in this body? Well, this body, anybody's body, is definitely a distraction. And when Brahmaji manifested in second canto the bodily conception of life, ladies have a higher standard of bodily conception of life than the men do. That is also true. But it's also true that sometimes the men also have a high degree of bodily conception of life. And mohita is not illusion, or less intelligence is not limited to a feminine body. Men can also be stupid. Men can also be, you know, ladies can be intelligent. So it's basically it's the jiva. It's a general. The shloka, that statement is on a general basis, not on a specific basis. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Strisu papayonishu, Striyo vaishas tatashu das tepi anti paramgetim, that women, merchants, shudras, you know, they can also achieve. Next shloka, there's another shloka from 2nd Canto, chapter 7, verse 46. Wherein it says that te vaiva danta tataranti cha deva maya stre shudra hun shabara abhipapa jiva yada adubuta krama parayana shila shiktas tiryak jana abhikimu shudadharana ye. So Brahmaji's saying there, strishu, ladies, can achieve. Strishu, Huns, Germans, mountaineers, Shabara, Siberians, Abhipapa Jiva, and other simple people. Yada Adhuputa Krama Parayana, if they take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God to do his wonderful activities, or his devotees of the Supreme Personality of God to do wonderful activities. Tiryak Jana, even the animals, domestic animals of those devotees can become liberated. Kimu, what to speak of? Shrotadharana, yay, those who hold the nectar here. So it's yes and no. See, Vaishnavis and Vaishnavas, I'm not a Vaishnava, you know, right? They think like that. So in one sense, you can take that, it's a general statement, but you can take it with humility that I need my husband to go back to Godhead, I need to be humble, I need to be like that, because on a general basis. But it's not going to stop you from offering your mind, intelligence, and words to the personality of Godhead, because there is an exception. Brahmaji does say it. Krishna does say it. Now, these people are not going to lie. See, when in the itihasa about Markandeya Rishi's long duration of life, then the Saptarishis asked Brahma, look, how are our words going to become true? This boy's duration of life is 5 days more, technically. So Brahmaji says, the whole world is valuable because of truthful words spoken by others. This child will have a duration of life as long as I live. Like this. So Brahmaji said, and he gave him, there was one kalpa, one day of Brahma, for each of the Saptarishis that Brahma, that Markandeya got. He actually ultimately lamented for that long duration of life. He also lamented for that. It's no fun being in a body for a long time, you know. But it's interesting stuff. Brahmaji says the world is fortunate because of truthful statements by others. So you can take that shloka on a general basis with all humility, like that. And you can use your intelligence like that, because buddhir matham asmi. And Krishna's not lying, and Brahmaji's not lying in Bhagavatam. And another thing is be interesting is look at the tikkas of that shloka. Second canto, chapter 7, verse number 46. And look at that tikka in Bhagavad Gita. And you can understand it also like that from so many ways of looking at it. Hey, we got to stop here. We're in the red, you know. Hare Krishna. We want to thank the... There were only time for three. Wow. Hey, you're going to have fun with Jai Vedamarsh, because he gives a class in 20 minutes and gives 40 minutes for questions and answers. He loves it. And everything that comes out of his brain is edited. So he answers the question like a half of a sentence and blows your mind, blows you away, you know. He's fun. He's going to give a class, 20-minute class, and give lots of time for questions and answers. That's the way he is, you know. And everything is edited, you know. He's going to be really fun, you know. He's fun. He's great. Hare Krishna.